Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, we're going to talk about the history of the guillotine, the device used in France to cut off heads. And, of course, it's something that we love to talk about is people being decapitated, Brandy. That's one of our favorite things.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I always like the surprise on people's face, Timmy, when they hit the dirt. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about...
They always look a little surprised, like they didn't know what was going to happen there.
Yeah.
Because you've seen so many executions by guillotine?
I've witnessed a couple. I mean,
sure you have.
They weren't official executions.
But, well.
But the people had it coming.
Of course they
did. Plus, I got a little mini guillotine for chopping cucumbers and things like that.
Remember that Slice-O-Matic thing they used to sell on TV where you had slices at dices? I don't know. Maybe it's me.
Yeah, that,
I'm just old.
That reminded me of one of those things like Saturday Night Live did on the products that just shouldn't be on the market. Do you know how many people lost fingers with a slice and dice?
I know. Remember that one?
Remember Ginsu knives?
Remember?
Ginsu knives could cut through a can.
I got to get
Remember they
knife.
Did that skit on that cook or that chef? What was her name?
Julia Childs.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd. And she cuts her finger during the show.
Yeah.
And bleeds out.
Oh, my.
All right. So we're going to talk about the history of the guillotine, and we're going to talk about some of the people who fell victim to the blade. But before we do, let me remind you that we are a true crime history comedy podcast. We use adult language, so if adult language offends you, then we suggest that you
just hit the door, Timmy. We just hit the door and don't even come back, because next week it's going to be the same, and the week after that it's going to be
well
the same.
Well, sometimes Brandy's not on the podcast though, and
okay, yeah, just wait for the ones that are in big red letters. We usually put those up
when
Highbrow intellectual podcast this week.
Because
Right. That's what it
Brandy
is.
Brandy is back from rehab. We are happy.
I was back last week.
Yeah, but we had a malfunction, so that episode never went out, so no one knows. Except me and you and
Oh my
Chuck.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
how did rehab go for you?
Well, let me introduce her and then we get to Brandy time. Because it's gonna be brief Brandy time.
Yeah.
It always is.
Let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land, Colonel, as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. Brandy, how are you, if at all?
I'm fine, Timmy. How are you? A little bit irritated. Last week's episode didn't go out.
Yeah,
but okay.
I had a malfunction on my microphone, so it was funny though. And we suggest that you send us money because it was really good. And sorry you didn't get to hear it, but it was really good. So send us money. How's that, Brandy?
So how was your stint in rehab, Devil?
Well, I'm no quitter. So
was it?
I left
it was,
early.
It was.
Did you say no?
Diversion program that the police had.
I did. You know,
was Jessica Alba in rehab with you?
I didn't see her, but you know, the first couple of days of rehab were great. You got to sleep in a little bit.
So she went, Colonel. You know, quiet. She was in celebrity rehab. She was in.
She was in a country club rehab.
Because you're being a podcaster, and a lot of podcasters go in rehab.
Yes, well, they do.
Yeah,
but anyway, nope. I'm fine. It's all fine. We had a minor meltdown the week before last of a Noah variety, and I could not get on to record. But the crisis has been averted.
And you're back.
And so I'm back.
Yes. And
well, I'm sorry I could not visit you, Devil. My people, my public relations people told me that I just wanted to stay away from that whole mess, Devil. So I would have liked to come up and seen you, but they told me to keep my distance from you.
Well, that's okay. Thank you for not coming.
That there was really nothing you could do for my career.
Did they lock away your drugs?
You're my trigger.
During your stay. Well, I heard they do that.
Did they lock up?
You lock up your drugs.
Lock up my drugs.
And keep them separate from you. I heard that they do that. That's why I never want to go to rehab.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Did you have sharp
no,
objects
everything's good.
In rehab?
Did I have sharp objects?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not crazy.
Let me introduce a man, Brandy, who needs no introduction.
What?
He's a man who's known as... The most dangerous man in podcasting today. He's been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
By no one.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good today, Timmy.
Oh, he's not good.
What's wrong, Colonel? Tell us.
Well, Timmy, you know that the election's coming up.
And in a year and a half.
They got the debates mm-hmm. coming up here again. And
will you be in the Democratic debates next week?
Well, they're doing two different debates, Timmy.
Chuck's on the junior stage.
Regular debate. There's 20 people on there, Timmy. Now, you know, how are you going to get a word edgewise between Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker? So... what CNN has decided to do was have their own debates, and then I'm going to do my own debate on a local cable channel here. And,
local cable?
Local access.
So, yes. So people
are you going to be by yourself?
Have a chance to hear my... Yeah, I'm just going to... I'm going to have a...
You're going to debate yourself.
Questions, and I'm going to answer them.
And
that way
just
people
so you know,
get
those
the,
are called a town hall.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
A Colonel Town Hall.
Like
we're gonna have a Colonel Town Hall, Brandy. What do you think about that,
baby Jesus? Well, yeah.
Well, we got a lot of problems in this country, and it's starting to scare me, Timmy, because last Father's Day, the boys bought me a drone, and I like to fly it around up in the field, up on my house. But apparently, they're getting shot down now.
Yes, your little piddly ass drone is in danger of being.
You know,
shot
I
down.
Sure hope that
it is.
If I order something from Amazon, that Iran doesn't shoot down my drone, because if I don't get my PlayStation games on time, I get cranky, Brandy.
Well, nobody wants your little piddly ass shit either.
We want to say happy birthday to Tommy Boomershine. Tommy's birthday
is
today.
Tommy. Happy birthday.
Tommy, I haven't heard from Tommy in a while.
Yeah. So,
and here's what I don't get. When they shot that down, did you see how much that son of a bitch cost, Timmy?
No.
My drone cost $89.95 and could do everything that drone could do, Timmy.
So what's your point there?
But this
Colonel.
He doesn't have a
the
point.
Government
this is
just
like all
waste
of his stories.
Money. It was like, I don't know, this thing cost like $7-8 billion for this drone. Which I guess, you know, that's what Amazon's going to be using, but then you're going to have...
They should have used a coupon.
Amazon's going to start using drones, Timmy, and then we're going to get little cells over here that start shooting down my Amazon package.
I hope not, Colonel. I hope that doesn't happen, because I would hate to see them shoot down your sweat socks or whatever it is that you... Your underwear. Whatever.
Well, yeah, and it could be really embarrassing for him.
Mm-hmm.
Them shooting down his Amazon packages could end up really embarrassing for him.
It could be. It could be. I don't like some of the stuff I ordered. I tell them put it in a plain brown box.
That's right.
All right.
Very plain. Just drop it and leave.
All right.
Yeah, you know, my best friend works for FedEx. And just for you ladies, they know when you're getting the devil's toys. When you're getting something to ring that devil's doorbell.
They know.
The FedEx driver knows from the address because they see it all the time. So you think you're being discreet, but they know that you're getting, you know, the Kong Jr., whatever it is you... What toys is it you order, devil?
Good Lord. I've got a Hustler store about 2 minutes up the road if I want to get something.
Do they have a drive-thru?
So you can get them in person.
Do they have a drive-thru? No, they do not.
They should.
I agree.
After you buy something there, do you do like the walk of shame out the door?
Nope. I skip out the door and get in the car.
Do you?
I may take a selfie while I'm out front.
You just own it all, devil. You just like,
why wouldn't I buy this? Why would I not? First of all, okay, so for any of you who have never been to a Hustler store, first of all, what they do while you're standing in line is anything that you get, they will take out of the package, put batteries in it, and turn it on. So if you have shame at that point...
So if you get like the big Mandingo... the Mandingo strap on.
Yeah.
They actually test it, is what you're saying, before they let it leave their store. Well, that's quality control there.
Yeah. It is. It's what you can't bring it back. I mean, so they have to make sure that it works.
Well, you can. It's just that no one would want it.
No, they won't take it. Do you blame them? Been out of shape about it. No. Like, yeah, I get it. But, you know, at that point, it doesn't matter. And you look around, and it's like all the people there are there for the same perverted reason. So what does it matter? It doesn't matter.
I don't know. Some people might be there to buy, something less depraved.
Deviant. Yeah, you know, less deviant and depraved. Mm-hmm.
Some people buy
their, you know, the lingerie that they sell there.
They do.
Not everyone goes there to buy, you know, pocket pussies or whatever. Granted, most do. But not all.
What I always love is they'll have something out, like as a, you know, on display or whatever.
I always think their clerks there are a little easy. Don't you think at Colonel, when you go in there and there's a hot little 25-year-old clerk there has got her nose piercings and all that going on. I'm thinking, you know, if you're working a Hustler store, you put out. That's my...
You're profiling.
You know you do.
Yeah, I'm profiling.
You know you do. Because sometimes they'll use the batteries and test it out on themselves. That's sometimes the sketchy part of that whole thing.
Speaking of which, you know what
will be in Hustler stores soon is I was approached by I shouldn't say I'm not doing good because I'm doing a little bit better. I was approached by an author, a publishing house, to publish a book, How to Properly Make Love to a Woman by the Colonel.
I see.
And that will be in bookstores sometime
soon. Very limited edition. Very thin book.
A very, very limited edition, yeah. You can get an autographed copy by the Colonel.
It was Publishing House Sweepstakes is the one that contacted him.
Yeah, well, and again, that title, devil, was How to Make Love to
Well,
and Timmy's gonna write the intro because he is the Mickey Mantle of Cunnilingus.
Thank you, Colonel.
So I couldn't do this without him. So thank you for your contribution.
Anytime, Colonel. I always like to support you in your endeavors. But
all the proceeds will go to charity. The proceeds are going to my over 40 women removal of penis.
Penis removal
foundation.
Yeah. Okay.
The Penis Removal Foundation, which we need to get a guillotine, Timmy.
A penitine is what we would use for that.
Oh, my God.
Yes. You put the little penis in the little, you know, the little device and pull the lever, and you're a woman again. Your thoughts on that, Brandon?
You're a woman again. That's what we're going to name it, Timmy. The woman again.
I am ashamed.
Not the slice and dice, but the woman again.
I'm so ashamed.
Well,
speaking of which, I mean, Timmy, I got
it's
one
not
shout
just for
I
penis. It can be for an overactive clitoris as well, Brandy.
Good.
Because sometimes you get the big old macro clitoris on a woman. Right, Colonel?
That's right. Sometimes, what did you tell me? You get the labias look like basset hound ears.
Gotta be careful of the macro.
Oh, my God.
Clitoris.
Yeah. You know what? The labia shaver, Timmy. We got the penitine and the labia shaver.
You know, you all act like your junk is just ready to go into the Miss America pageant and be shown off. And let me tell you.
My junk is ready to go into Miss America at any given time, Devil.
Let's talk about the kids.
No, not into Miss America.
Because believe it or not, people turn into this podcast.
I wish I had one right now.
People turn into this podcast because they like to learn something new, Colonel.
They do. And look at all the things they've learned. We've
goofy.
Taught them self-improvement.
Yeah.
Because really all you need is a little bit. It's like when you get your ear pierced, you know, you just put ice on there for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just put ice down there. Hold ice down there, and then we'll put you on the penitine. You're a woman again, Timmy. And speaking of which,
or,
I got to
give
a shout
out
because,
you know, if you can't afford, Colonel, if you don't have the money set aside or your insurance doesn't cover your, you know, if you're changing genders, the penitine, Brandy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would hurt. That would hurt. But I got to give a quick shout out because speaking of the penitine, mm-hmm. Timmy, my co-host on the other shows is going to be at that age this week.
40?
Timmy, before we do another contest.
Oh,
40.
My God. Yeah, but you know, the penis doesn't start growing.
She'll be interested
exactly
to hear about
40.
This.
I mean, so.
No, that's just when you start noticing the difference. That's really all it is. Yeah.
Well, Brandy,
first,
when did you?
I would love to talk about the guillotine right now. I would love to.
Person looks
the
like you got
right
a little
now.
Tongue sticking out of there, like it's got, Jesus, you know, got kind Christ. Of a little bit lazy. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, what happened down there? And then the next thing you know.
You know why we get reviews saying that you two are idiots and I'm not?
Because we talk about the penitine.
Let's talk about that.
I haven't seen
Let's
those
talk.
Reviews,
well, happy birthday, Karen. Karen, of course, from Spy Stories. Available on
happy
iTunes.
Birthday, Karen.
Happy
40
birthday.
40 years old.
40 years old. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to Jessica, who won a contest on our Facebook page by answering History Dweeb's trivia. I want to thank Clark for sending me a nice message. And also, we got two new Patreon supporters. We'll get into Patreon later on. But Whitney and Gina, thank you very much. And Jim Seabright, we're thinking about you as well. So thank you, guys. And now we're going to talk about the guillotine, Brandy. It's an instrument for inflicting capital punishment by decapitation. It was in.
Hold on, Chuck's going to die.
Are you all right there, Charles?
No, I have my mic off. I'm okay. Good. I know how to. I have technical expertise here, Devil. You understand?
Really? Because I just heard you barfing in my ear. So
he knows how to. He knows how to operate penitines.
I do.
Guillotine was introduced in France, the colonel's favorite country, in 1792. That's been a while, Brandy. The divide.
Right.
Let me. I think everyone knows what a guillotine looks like, right? But it's a device consisting of two upright posts surmounted by a crossbeam and grooved as to guide a sharp steel blade, the back of which is heavily weighted to make it fall forcibly upon the neck of its victim. So it's pretty gruesome. Prior to the French Revolution, similar devices were used in Scotland and in England and various European countries, often for the execution of criminals of noble birth. So they just brung out the guillotine when someone special was getting it. But in France, they start, after the French Revolution, they started spreading the wealth to the common criminal. Okay, so.
Let them eat cake.
Yeah, yeah. So, Now, prior to 1791, the main devices used in France to execute was the gallows to hang people and the breaking wheel. Do you know what the breaking wheel was, Colonel? Would you like to explain it?
Well, the breaking wheel is a pretty ugly thing, Timmy, and most of the people that we cover on this podcast could probably use the breaking wheel. We should go back to the breaking wheel, I think. Hmm. Public breaking wheels. It's a large cart, Timmy, and they would place them with their limbs all, you know, tied out along the spokes of these wooden beams. Mm-hmm. And then a wheel would slowly move. And you know how you got, think of your bones, Timmy. And then you know how you was a kid and you would jam a stick in somebody's spokes at a back tire of their mm-hmm. bike? It was kind of like that, except the spoke was your arm or leg. Yeah,
they would, and the they would break
the
your arm.
The stick was an iron yeah. bar. It would just break it in half.
And it, if they were feeling merciful, they would then, you know, they would strike you in your chest or your abdomen, and then that was called a coup de grace, or the blow of mercy, so that they would have mercy on you. But then you would lay there if you were, you know, after you've gone through the broken wheel or whatever it's breaking wheel, you would lay there until the birds would start pecking at you, Brandy, and sometimes even rats would come up and start gnawing on your body while you're still alive. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Perfect.
Many Perfect. People have been known to void their bowels in the midst of this, Timmy.
I can imagine.
I'm pretty sure most people voided their bowels in the midst of all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing observation.
So then people Fuck. Shamed him for that, too.
In 1791...
Well, they're going to be dead in 20 minutes, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. In 1791, as the French Revolution progressed, the National Assembly researched a new method to be used on all condemned people, regardless of class, and consistent with the idea that the purpose of capital punishment was simply to end life rather than to inflict pain. Now, what fun is there in that?
Well, that's just bullshit yeah. there. That's the whole purpose of capital punishment is to make you terrified the whole time.
Well, in 1789, a French physician and member of the National Assembly by the name of Joseph Guillotin was instrumental in passing a law that required all sentences of death to be carried out by the means of a machine. And his whole focus was to make it painless as possible. So a lot of times people get confused and they think that Dr. Guillotin actually invented the guillotine. He didn't. He was just in favor of a painless approach to the to implementing death sentences. And he did not like to be associated with the guillotine. Of course, he was, because it took on his name. During the development of the guillotine, suggestions were submitted by many of France's leading engineers, including King Louis the 16th, Brandy, who, of course...
Was he a leading engineer?
No, but, you know, he tinkered with, like, clocks and things. So...
Of course. It's almost the same.
Yeah, almost the same. And, of course, he would later become one of his most famous victims. The final product consisted of a tall, upright frame in which a weighted and angled blade is raised to the top and suspended. The condemned person is then secured with stocks at the bottom of the frame, positioned the neck directly below the blade. The blade is then released, and then, of course, it falls and decapitates its victim. Usually there's a little basket where the head will fall into, and after the machine has been used, after they experimented and tested it on dead bodies, Brandy, it was brought to the center of Paris for its first use, and that was on April 25th, 1792. It was used on a highwayman. Colonel, were you ever a highwayman, Colonel? Did you ever...
I spent some hard times as a highwayman, Timmy. But, you know, I was the gentleman highwayman. Because the ladies were happy to be robbed by me. I would just say, give me your bobbles,
oh, for
baby.
Fuck's sake.
Come here and give me your bobbles, baby. And they would They would just turn everything over. Sometimes they just start to, you know, get, oh, this is getting me so scared, so I'm getting vapors, and they would just start peeling off stuff, and I'd be
nobody
like,
ever
no,
did
no,
that.
No. I don't have time for all that. I just got to get your baubles and get out of here.
Nobody ever did that.
You weren't there.
Okay. You're right.
Nicolas Peltier was a French highwayman who was the first person to be executed by the guillotine. Peltier routinely associated with a group of known criminals. And on the night of October 14, 1791, the 36-year-old career criminal attacked a passerby in the center of Paris. Peltier stole the man's wallet and other valuables, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Did he steal his baubles?
I don't know. I don't know what he stole, but he stole his valuables.
Those are baubles, evidently.
There are,
according to Chuck,
there are.
He deserved to have his head cut off.
There are some discrepancy concerning the robbery. Some reports say Peltier killed the man. Other reports say he assaulted and robbed him. And there were even other reports that said Peltier sexually assaulted his victim.
Jesus Christ!
You know, that's just called piling on. Sometimes they just add a lot of charges.
Wait a minute, though. Here's the thing. I think that you should be able to tell if he killed the guy or not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
well,
you're going with
you
all
know,
these reports. I think you can tell.
You know, they didn't have CNN back in the day. I mean, it was pretty much, you know, the journalism was questionable, but...
It was sketchy.
It was sketchy. But regardless...
And they didn't have CSI.
Regardless, Brandy, Nicolas Peltier was quickly apprehended and arrested the same night. Well, I guess apprehended and arrested are sort of the same thing, isn't it? The victim's cry for help had alerted the members of the National Guard, and Peltier was soon in police custody, Brandy. Justice.
So he wasn't dead before. So I don't know why
well,
there would be this rumor
would,
that
maybe
the guy's dead.
Maybe he assaulted him and he died before, you know, he died later, but he could still scream. The possibilities
still
are endless.
Scream, yeah.
Peltier was convicted after a short trial the following week. The judge ordered a death sentence set for December 31st, 1791. So his New Year's Eve plans were kind of all fucked up after that, I would think.
Yeah.
The sentence, however...
They was having a big party.
The sentence, however, was handed down out...
That's where they got the thing from New York, Timmy, the dropping of the ball.
It was the dropping of the guillotine.
It came from this case.
The sentence, however,
yes, that's not true.
Was handed out while the French National Assembly was still debating the death penalty and a proper method should be used to carry them out. So he got a reprieve. The execution was delayed due to this ongoing debate. And finally, the National Assembly decreed on March the 23rd, 1792, in favor of the guillotine. Nicolas Peltier, new execution date was set for April 25th, 1792 at 3:30 p.m. That's, you like that, Brandy? I even have the exact fucking time of the day this guy was going to be executed.
That's some research there. I don't think, Brandy, I don't think you appreciate, devil, listen here.
I had to research the records.
What goes into this.
The execution records, I had to go into the police station records all the way back to 1792 to find out what time this execution took place. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about this research. Since you have the execution date set for April 25th, 1992.
That was a typo.
At which point, I was graduating high school, so I'm not
really sure about
that.
Well, you know how those appeals tend to drag out, devil.
Right.
Word that the new method of the execution would be carried soon spread throughout Paris. So people were excited that this new...
Well, that's why you have to have a time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
So they know when to
be
there.
Public executions had long been a popular form of entertainment in France, the citizens of Paris were eager to witness this new method. The mayor of Paris then notified General Marquis de Lafayette, of course, he was just back from France from his service in the American Revolution, to request that the general provide adequate security from the National Guard to ensure crowd control for this execution because they were expecting a big crowd, Brandy, big turnout.
Like the Who.
Kind of like the Who. The turnout, this turned out to be an excellent idea, as tens of thousands of Parisianers turned out to witness Peltier's execution. Now, see, had he just been, you know, hanged or hung or what, or if he had been, you know, on the wheel of broken wheel or whatever, probably he wouldn't have got that much turnout. So Peltier really should have, he should be appreciative, Brandy, that he was getting killed by the guillotine, because look, we're talking about him now 200 years later. And we wouldn't have been.
He had his 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, if he had just been a regular, you know, if he had just been hung, we wouldn't even been talking about him. But see, life is queer, Brandy.
Amazing.
When Peltier,
life is queer.
Yeah. When Peltier.
Why? You know, I'm listening to this and I'm wondering. Now, today we use lethal injection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was given the choice, I would say, put me in the stockade and just drop this thing down on my head so it could be over with, because lethal injections can take a long, long time. You know, the electric chair, that can set you on fire. You can't count on people to shoot you properly. And I mean, this is like a fail-safe thing, Timmy.
I kind of like to go death. I would choose death by Percocet. That would be my choice. But, you know.
Yes, that's what I would
do. Everyone has their own preference, Brandy.
I understand. You want to go out leaving Las Vegas style.
Yes. When Peltier
perfect
saw the large crowd, he remarked to the guard, his guard, and this is a quote, "I'm surprised so many people turned out to see me." His guard was reported to reply, and this is a quote, "Don't flatter yourself. They just want to see your head come off." So, you know, it probably sounds better.
He's you.
Probably sounds better in French, Brandy.
It probably does, but he's you. He's a dream killer. That's you. Oh, look, all these people are here to see me. No, fucker. They just want to watch your head cut off. Come on.
Didn't that flatter yourself?
I'm sorry.
That's how he said it. Didn't that flatter yourself?
You're not sorry.
They're just here to see your head come off.
I don't. What? Are you,
you're still mad that you can't beat a manager of Stonehenge, devil.
Yeah, and you.
I'm still pissy about that, but.
Brandy, you have no experience. No experience managing rocks.
First of all, qualifications. You know nothing. You know nothing about.
Tell me the last time you managed a rock.
Yeah.
I got two kids.
You've never managed rocks. You have to be able to manage rocks. You have to be good with rocks.
I've managed them for 20 years. Hmm.
How long has this Stonehenge place been around, Timmy?
I don't. I think just the Druids probably like, what?
Yeah,
long 3, fucking time
year or something like that. 2000 years.
You know she would be moving shit around. Like, no, this would look better here. This
feng
would
sway it.
Paint I that one not. Blue. Yeah, it'd be all jacked.
I would not. Shut they, up.
They'd up. All fall down within a week.
Boy,
or so they like dominoes, man. Could, she'd lean against it or something, and then they just
whatever.
Oop. Or she'd yell at him so much to me
Stonehenge ever saw.
That Stonehenge would just quit. Stonehenge would just walk away. Rocks would quit, Timmy.
Dream killers.
The execution took place as scheduled, and Peltier was led to the platform at 3:30 p.m. on the day of his execution. He was led to the scaffolding wearing a red shirt. I don't know why that's important, but the large
so everybody could
the
see
large
him.
Crowd.
No, so
everybody
if he escaped,
who he was.
Well, then I guess if the blood it won't, you know, if it gets on your shirt, it doesn't why? Show up as much. The large crowd was already there.
That's a concern.
The large crowd was already there, Brandy, waiting eagerly to see the novel invention at work, the guillotine. Which was also red in color. I never thought of the guillotine as red, but I guess maybe. It had been previously fully prepared. Peltier was placed in the position correctly, and within seconds, he was decapitated. The executioner held up Peltier's head by his hair to proudly display his work. The crowd, however, was dissatisfied with the executioner and the guillotine. They felt it was too swift and clinically effective to provide proper entertainment as compared to the previous execution methods, the wheel and the gallows. So they were not happy, Brandy. The police even, or the public even called out, bring back our gallows. A near riot broke out, Brandy, as the crowd threw rotten fruit at the executioner and guards. That's a tough crowd, Colonel.
Do they just carry those
that
things with them?
That is a tough crowd right there.
What, rotten fruit?
Tomatoes?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, are people just carrying around rotten fruit just in case you see somebody to win?
You know what?
At?
I know, well, don't like, you have I know they sold them, like, they used to sell rotten fruit, like, for, you know, like the theaters and stuff.
Public spectacles,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. The crowd threatened to charge the platform and destroy the guillotine. Lafayette and his National Guard was ready and soon moved in to disperse the crowd. So it didn't get off to a good start. In all, 75 people were arrested for rioting, and 23 people were arrested for pickpocketing during the execution. So it wasn't really a deterrent, Brandy.
That sounds about right.
See, the whole thing was a diversion. You can't trust those damn French, Timmy. Hmm. They're as bad as Canadians. And you've heard of French Canadians. They're the worst. But what are they doing? They're creating a diversion and then they're pickpocketing people. They was happy with the guillotine, Timmy. They just wanted a chance to pickpocket people.
Hmm. Now, Brandy,
that's why I don't go to France anymore.
Some of the notable victims of the guillotine.
Try to get the names right, devil.
Oh, no, I'm going to fuck this six ways to Sunday. So although Peltier was the first victim of the guillotine, he would certainly not be the last. The guillotine would remain...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
France's primary method of execution until France abolished capital punishment in 1981. So the last time that the guillotine...
Liberal hippies.
So the last time the guillotine was used was in 1977. Yes. Although the guillotine was used primarily to punish criminals, it gained prominence during the period following the French Revolution known as the Reign of Terror.
Now, see, to me, this is when it would be good to do the two-person podcast because we could expound upon the French Revolution and Reign of Terror and things like that. But we'll keep it simple with the devil here. So go ahead.
I think she's an expert on the Reign of Terror. Continue, Brandy.
Well, yeah, she would be. Continue, Brandy. What do you think about that, Brandy?
All right. So during the Reign of Terror... The French noblemen and aristocracy were sentenced to the blade by the people's court. Ooh, Wapner.
Oh,
eager for revenge after centuries of oppression.
Wapner don't play around. I mean, he's the hanging judge.
He
no,
don't.
He does
judge
not.
Judy,
no.
Man, she don't play around. She's a hanging judge.
Mm.
During the Reign of Terror, which lasted from June of 1793 to July of 1794... It's estimated that 17,000 people were guillotined.
That's a lot.
Most for their political and social status prior to the revolution.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of fucking
that's
people.
That's a lot of people in a year.
Wonder how many guillotines they had. God damn, that's a lot of guillotines.
Yeah, well, you have to take some WD-40 to that thing probably every day.
Well, right. The most prominent member of the French ruling class to be executed by guillotine... was monarch Louis XVI and his wife Marie Antoinette. Louis was a fat, impotent monarch who preferred to play with his clocks than to have sex with his beautiful wife.
Well, you know,
he was impotent.
He was viewed largely an ineffective ruler who wasted the royal treasury and left the country bankrupt by 1790.
Much Although like you would do with Stonehenge, devil.
You would lose money at the Stonehenge. And the thing is, there's no upkeep at the Stonehenge.
There's no overhead.
It's just rocks. But you would still lose money
just
on
rock.
It.
Although him and Marie tended to live high on the hog, most of the money was wasted on supporting the United States independence from Great Britain. It wasn't as if Louis's failed monarchy surprised anyone. On his deathbed, Louis's father, Louis XV, his final words were, "Now the flood."
That's a lot of confidence in your dad has a lot of confidence in you, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Sounds like my dad. Let's see. Historians believe that Louis could have saved his and his wife's heads by making good decisions at the start of the French Revolution. However, he didn't. Louis and Marie were officially arrested on August 13, 1792, and sent to the Temple, an ancient fortress in Paris that was used as a prison. On September 21st, the National Assembly declared France to be a republic and abolished the monarchy. Louis was stripped of all his titles and honors.
Little bit of knowledge for our listeners here. Marie Antoinette, well, if our listeners know even who Marie Antoinette is, she was famous for
saying,
the common people have no bread, and she said, "Let them eat cake." Now, that is a historical fallacy. She did not ever say anything like that. She did say, "When they have bread, fuck them, I don't care." But she did not say, "Let them eat cake." That. It doesn't.
Are you saying French?
It doesn't.
It
that was
good.
Just. Let them eat the cake. That's what it sounds
yes,
like in France.
Yes, that's it. Good job. Is that what it sounds like in France?
Let them eat le cake.
Le cake. Let's see. Okay. After a show trial in January of 1793, Louis was convicted of high treason and sentenced to death by guillotine. On Monday, January 21st, 1793, Louis XVI, at age 38, was beheaded by the guillotine on the Palais de la Révolution.
Oh, can you say that slower? A little slower.
No. Before arriving at the site of his execution, Louis asked that a guard deliver a message to his son, his soon-to-be widow. I'm sorry, his soon-to-be widow, but the guard refused, claiming he was not Louis's errand boy.
I'm not your errand boy. Screw you, you fat bastard. That's
you
what he said
fuck.
To him. You fat bastard, I would not do that for you.
As Louis XVI mounted the scaffold, he appeared dignified.
So apparently he wasn't impotent.
He appeared dignified and refined. Resigned, I'm sorry. 100 drummers played as Louis was led up the scaffold. He ordered the drummers to stop so he could make a final statement. The guard countermanned the order. Over the sounds of drums, Louis delivered a short speech in which he pardoned those who are the cause of my death. The former king's head was then positioned in place on the platform with his hands tied behind his back. The drummers paused, and the executioner released the lever. Some accounts of Louis's beheading indicate that the blade did not sever his neck entirely the first time. There are also accounts of a blood-curdling scream issuing from Louis after the blade fell, but this is unlikely since the blade severed Louis's spine.
It's like the hangman. You don't want to get a dull guillotine because then they just keep dropping and you're like, ow, god damn it. Ow, god damn it.
It's like trying to cut somebody's head off with a butter knife.
Yeah, it's like a big bunch of big hard karate chops to the back of the neck. So you want to... You hope that the guillotine guy has maintained it and taken good care of it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not like if it just falls once, you get a reprieve.
It's the executioner's job. They have like two jobs.
They really have to hold
the executioner held the former monarch's... The executioner held the former monarch's head up high and the crowd cheered. While Louis's blood dripped to the ground, several onlookers ran forward to dip their handkerchiefs in it. Bunch of ghouls.
You know, the worst part of this was the stockade. You know, the Puritans did this. when you was in the stockades, people would come up and bugger you.
Oh yeah.
You know, they'd actually bugger you while you was in the stockades, and that, and with the guillotine, they was trying to always get that like dying quiver from you. You know, that was a big thing. So I'm just, the more you know, it's just a historical fact.
Thank you, Colonel.
Buggery and the Guillotine. That's my next book after How to Make Love to a Woman, Devil. Buggery and the Guillotine.
The account was proven true in 2012 after a DNA comparison linked blood thought to be from Louis the 16th beheading to DNA taken from tissue samples originating from what was long thought to be the mummified head of his ancestor, Henry the 6th of France.
Okay, so these handkerchiefs, these people,
I can't see.
These people dipped their handkerchief in his blood. That's basically saying in 2012 that was verified.
Oh, it's Henry the 4th of France.
That was
Sorry.
Verified.
I gotta put
yeah,
my glasses on. Yeah,
he came right, so four. He came four people before Henry the 8th. I am. And he got married to the widow next door.
I got it.
She'd been married a bunch of seven times before. And all of them.
The guy that sang that is also the guy that sang Monster Mash.
Really?
It was like the B-side of Monster Mash on the old 45s.
Immediately after his execution, Louis' corpse was transported in a cart to the nearby Madeleine Cemetery, where those guillotined in the Palais de la Révolution were buried in mass graves. Before his burial, a short religious service was held in the church by two priests who had sworn allegiance to the civil constitution of the clergy. Afterward, Louis XVI, his severed head placed between his feet, was buried in an unmarked grave with quicklime spread over his body. And there his remains stayed until 1822 when they were removed and given a proper burial. Marie Antoinette, who was kept in a separate location, only learned of her husband's death when guards started laughingly referring to her as the widow. Marie would survive her husband by 9 months when she would also meet her fate at the guillotine. Although the guillotine was the main tool used by the Reign of Terror to execute those viewed as enemies of the revolution, some very prominent revolutionary leaders met their fate with the help of the guillotine. Those who lived by the guillotine tended to die by it. During the early years of the revolution, a Parisian lawyer, Maximilien Robespierre, came to become a leading voice on for the Committee of Public
Safety.
See,
here's the thing. This is why all the French get laid, Colonel. They got all those fancy names like Peltier and Robespierre. And
Robespierre.
Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah. Pepe
you know,
Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew, he's always kissing, you know, he's always got another cat or another skunk and he's kissing up and down her arm. You know, he gets laid a lot.
You know, yeah, but Pepe like Le Pew is a good, he's a good example for Pepe Le Pew's the reason the whole Me Too movement started. I mean, you just, you know, these cats are trying to mind their own business and Pepe Le Pew, choo,
well, he kisses up and down their arms. You know, that makes women crazy, yeah. Brandy, when you kiss up and down their arm like that.
Well, that's in chapter 3 of How to Make Love to a Woman, Devil.
Stop, please. Okay, so although the Committee on Public Safety had a nice, safe ring to it, it was really the main political body of the French Revolution. The committee was to provide for the defense of the nation against its enemies, foreign and domestic. It was the committee that ordered the execution of thousands of French citizens. Robespierre would play a key role in this body count until he himself fell out of favor in 1794. On July 27, 1794, with his arrest and likely execution imminent, Robespierre attempted to escape the guillotine by shooting himself in the head. Dumb bastard missed, however, and succeeded only in shooting himself in the jaw.
Oh, that happens.
Dumbass.
Well, some people say he didn't try to kill himself, that someone else shot him, but we'll go with this.
Robespierre was arrested, and a daughter was called to patch up his face so that he could be executed by the guillotine.
Because they did not want him bleeding to death before they got to execute him.
Right. Robespierre laid in his prison cell in horrific pain and still bleeding profusely for nearly a day and a half. Finally, on January 28, 1794, Robespierre was led to the scaffold with his jaw barely in place.
Yeah, he had no last words.
No. A vast mob gathered in the square and screaming curses followed him right up to the scaffold. Robespierre kept his eyes closed. His face was swollen. When clearing Robespierre's neck, the executioner tore off the bandage that was holding his jaw in place, causing Robespierre to produce an agonizing scream until the fall of the blade silenced him.
That sounds very violent, Brandy.
It was just jaw-dropping for Robespierre.
It's like pulling a Band-Aid.
Well, let's hear about the last one. And here, I'm just going to give you a little teaser, Timmy. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who listen to us and a lot of men who are not as experienced. Here's one of Colonel's tips.
The fucking script.
Continue, Colonel. Yeah. What do you have to tell the men out there who...
If you can tell right away if you go out on a date with a woman for the first time, you know, and she's wearing a skirt or whatever she's wearing, all you got to do is look down, and you can do it by accident or whatever, but just kind of brush against her leg a little bit. Now, if you feel smooth legs, Timmy, she shaved them. That means she's planning on getting a little dirty later on.
That means she wants the D,
it does. If they're hairy, there's no way you're getting into that. So take her to Burger King. Don't be taking that one to the Red Lobster. You got to do this in the car.
What is your fucking point? And what does this have to do with the
guillotine? Just like to explain to the ladies, because we have women that listen as well.
I just want to talk about the guillotine.
Some of our women, you know, they like to know what, you know, how we think, how us men think.
They do.
Ladies, let me say this. If he places his hand on your thigh and you like you don't close your thigh, that means you want the D. That's how we read that, right, Colonel?
Well, basically if I reach over and put my hand on your thigh and I don't get punched in the neck.
And sometimes even if you do.
I figured that's what you're planning on, you know.
You want the D,
right? Okay, yeah. It's just a way of
it's nature.
That humans signal each other.
Yeah, it's human nature.
Thank you for all this unsolicited horse
Colonel.
Shit.
Now, for some of our listeners, some of the men, they don't know where to find, like, you know, the major parts of say the vagina. So can you explain us the major parts of the anatomy of the female anatomy?
Yeah, and we've gone over this a couple times.
But
it's good to retouch on this.
It's not ever.
You have in the girly parts, Timmy, and they're made up. It's really girly parts are like a Swiss watch, Timmy. I mean, there's all kinds of moving parts.
It's complicated, Brandy.
You got the
and things in there that will kill you.
Yeah, you got the majorous laborious, right?
Say that in French, Colonel.
Majorous laborious.
Thank you, Colonel.
And then, much like Asia, you got the minor Asia and you got the minor laborious.
I see.
And then...
Are you writing this down, Brandy?
Why the fuck would I write it down?
Continue, Colonel.
And then, as my French comrades would say, you got the clitoris.
Well, and sometimes you've got the over-enlarged clitoris, and that's when you need the clitoris.
Maximus clitoris, Timmy. That's what we call that. Maximus clitoris. And then you have...
This women don't know this, but not all women know this, Brandy, but sometimes if you touch... the clitoris too much, it grows. So you got to be careful not to play with it too much, because then you end up with a deformed clitoris. Right, Colonel?
Exactly. And if you reach down and you touch a clitoris that's got a callus on it, Timmy, you know that you're in for a lot of work. Because that woman she's rung the devil's doorbell so many times that you just really can't compete with that. And then they have this thing. It's really the Bigfoot of the vagina, Timmy.
Bigfoot, Brandy.
It's called the G-spot. Mm. It's been talked about. It's been speculated on. But nobody's actually found or seen one, Timmy.
Yeah, the CIA has some files on it, but...
Can you tell me more about men getting their head cut off, please? Please tell me about the last victim of the guillotine.
We're just trying to help you, Devil, that's all.
I don't know who you're trying
to help. I mean, there's
men
out there fumbling around, not knowing what they're doing. We're just trying to help.
And you're not helping. No,
they're
not, though. So how about tell me about the last victim of the guillotine.
That's okay, because if they want to know more, they can buy your book. What's the name of your book again, Colonel?
How to Make Love to a Woman, Devil.
God. I got to find an antacid.
Well, it's just, I thought it was pretty straightforward so people would know what it's about. How to make love to a woman. And it's important that you don't say, this is what's important.
Now, will you have that out in audiobook format, Colonel, and in Braille?
I will, and I'll be narrated in myself.
It will be in Braille.
Tums right now, so
it will be in Braille.
Jesus.
But men, here's one thing you don't want to do in public is introduce your female companion as your lover.
Why is that, Colonel?
Because unless you've been, with them quite a number of times, then they feel like you're just speculating.
Mm. I think when a man calls his female companion a lover, I'm thinking she's using a strap on. That's what I get from that.
I do too. Mm. I do too.
I think I want to go play in traffic if you don't fucking get on with this.
Do you call Dave your lover, Devil? Do you call him your lover?
Not ever. Not
well.
Ever.
That's probably.
Do you ever take
the Colonel will teach you some little techniques.
I will
that you can use in your state of matrimony that will improve your marriage. Continue, Colonel.
I can come over.
No, thank
you. And give you some 2-on-1 therapy if you would like, Devil.
Nope. No, no, no.
Do you ever grab him by the hand and say,
"No, nope, thank you.
Come, lover.
No,
let's go make love."
No, I don't ever do that.
Okay. See, that's why you're having problems, Devil.
Yeah, that's true, Brandy. He's just trying to help.
Yeah, that's why you're having problems.
He's just trying to help.
All right. Well, let's get back to the reign of terror. Speaking of the devil making love, let's get back to the reign of terror. While the reign of terror and political executions finally ended in France around 1799, the guillotine remained for common criminals. Now, noted serial killer Henri Landru.
See, that's another French name. I bet he got laid all the time. Henri.
He was getting hit in the side of the head with panties every time he walked down the steps or down the street. 11 women over 4 years.
Oh, he's a serial killer. He killed 11 women. Okay.
Now, they believe Landru and his wife would lure the women to their home, then rob them and kill them. Landru may have killed as many as 72 women, although his wife was a suspected accomplice. She was released for health reasons.
Well, that's fucked up.
Now, Henri met his fate with the guillotine on February 25, 1922. His wife was even in the crowd to watch her 52-year-old husband lose his head and asked officials if they could return his head with her by courier when it was all done with. Nobody knows if this happened or not. Nobody knows what she wanted with the head. But apparently, Henri was very good at, he was the pre-Mickey Mantle of Cunnilingus, and she wanted to hold on to that. She wanted to still grab him by the ears. So another famous victim was political assassin Paul Gorgulov. He was a Russian immigrant living in France, and was furious at French President Paul Daumier for not supporting the white movement in Russia during the Civil War. So a book fair was being held at this hotel, and the president, Domare, was present. Gorgolov arrived at the hotel, had a Browning 1910. He approached the president from behind, pulled his gun, and fired three shots. Two of them hit the president, one in the back of the head, the other in the right armpit. He fell to the floor and died at the hospital the next day. They arrested him. 2 days later, after rejecting the idea that he was insane, the jury condemned Gorgolov to death. Now, in August 20, the Court of Castration, France's final appeal court, rejected a defense of insanity, and they sent him to have his head chopped off, Timmy. Okay. Now, Eugene Weidmann, he was a German immigrant and a petty thief. Not even a good one, just a little trifling petty thief, Timmy.
I've seen a pattern here. It's like all these guys are immigrants.
Yeah. He worked his way up to serial killer, yeah. though. And he
I'm
would
seeing
be the
that
last.
All the immigrants are getting sent to the guillotine, but maybe that's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just a coincidence.
Well, it's cheaper than building a wall, Timmy. It's really cheaper than building a wall. It's economically feasible. So he'd be the last public execution in France in 1939. Crowds started gathering in Versailles to witness his execution by guillotine. Many in the crowd were drunk by the time the guards got there, with his arms tied behind his back. The crowd started appealing when the executioner appeared and started chanting for the executioner to castrate as well as behead Weidmann. Mm. Apparently, for laughs, the executioner pretended to play along by unzipping a mortified Eugene Wiedemann's pants.
I bet he thought, whoa, this was not the sentence.
It would be hard to do because you know you're pretty turtled up if you're going to get executed, Timmy. I mean, I think
Brandy,
you might be
you
a
to,
show
Brandy, would
and
you
a
go
girl,
to
but,
a public execution?
Is it one
no,
of yours?
No, I just mean like a regular person. Would you go, I mean a regular?
Probably okay. not.
Continue, Colonel.
No, probably not.
What if the Johnson was coming off?
No.
What if it, right, they were fine. Using a penitine, Brandy?
No. I mean, I have a television. They're going for entertainment. I have a television. Right. And the two of you, so I don't need that.
Continue, Colonel.
Well, this hysterical behavior by spectators was so scandalous that French President Albert Lebrun banned all further public executions.
Wait a minute. Did you skip over the part where he didn't get his head cut off? It malfunctioned? And
well,
he didn't
it malfunctioned.
It was only slightly cut off.
It was only slight. Yeah, but you're still dead. I mean, it really. That, he got the dull blade. And the crowd was mostly drunk, and they cheered as he just moaned in agony. So the president said, enough of this. And he banned all future public executions. But unknown to authorities, film of the execution was shot from a private apartment adjacent to the prison, became widely distributed on the black market, and a silent version of the film can be found on YouTube.
Yeah, you can see it, but it's just really quick. But you have to, it's one of those ones where you have to sign in to see it. You have to say that, swear that you're over 18 or whatever. But it is available on YouTube.
Yeah.
Now, remember Christopher Lee, who did all the vampire movies, Timmy?
Yeah, British actor, yeah.
He was 17 and in France at the time, and he witnessed it.
Nice.
Now, the final time it was used was on another immigrant, Amida Jim Dowie. He was from Tunisia. He was convicted of rape and murder in 1976. He moved to Marseille, France in 68. Then he kidnapped, tortured, and murdered a 22-year-old Elizabeth Bousquet, his former girlfriend. Now, this guy, another thief, part-time pimp, and pimping ain't easy, Timmy.
Pimping is not easy, Brandy.
It's only part-time.
He tried to force his girlfriend into prostitution.
Yeah, that's not cool.
When she refused, he kidnapped, tortured, and raped her in front of two other prostitutes. Then, in 74, Jesus. He kidnapped her again, took her to his home, where in full view of the terrified girls, he beat the woman before stubbing a lit cigarette out all over her breast and genitalia. See, that now that's going to be in the Colonel's book, Chapter 11, What Not to Do.
I see. Now, that's a good one.
Yeah, they don't be damaging the genitalia and breasts.
And don't give them your real name.
Right. And don't let them in your come to your correct. House, right, correct. Timmy?
Or give them your real name or credit card information, Brandy.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, her body was discovered in a shed. 1 month later, he kidnapped another girl who escaped and reported him to the police. The two women testified against him. He was convicted and sentenced to death by the guillotine in 1977. But because they get all those hippie lawyer liberal appeals and whatnot, Timmy, it wasn't until 4 years later his execution was going to be the last because, well, he got killed in 77, but in 81, France got all liberal and was like, oh, no, don't kill nobody with guillotine no more.
Yeah, so it was
bunch
that
of pansy
capital
ass.
Punishment was abolished in 1981.
France basically surrendered to capital punishment, Timmy, as they have surrendered to everything else. So, not to offend our French listeners, but goddamn, put up a fight once in a while. Anyway, in 1996, the U.S., Georgia State Representative Doug Tepper unsuccessfully sponsored a bill to replace the state's electric chair with a guillotine. In recent years, a number of individuals have died by suicide by using a guillotine which they had constructed themselves. A British man killed himself by a guillotine he made himself. Builder Boyd Taylor spent several weeks putting this whole complex device together at his home he shared with his father. And then the 36-year-old's father, Robert, discovered his son's body in January after hearing a noise in which he thought was a falling chimney. At the inquest, because there they have inquest, he was over across the pond, mm-hmm. Timmy. At Wandsburg General Hospital, they recorded a verdict of suicide. The hearing was told of the complicated mechanism was primed to switch itself on at 3:30 and cause the blade to fall on Mr. Taylor's neck, right in the middle of General Hospital. Luke and Laura getting on, doing the dirty, and on it.
And your head.
So he never did find out the ending to that. But in 2008, Timmy, a 41-year-old Maryland man killed himself by the guillotine. It was about 6 foot tall, was partially affixed to a tree when it was discovered, police said. It was not a traditional one, but rather had a swinging arm and a blade on it.
Oh, that's
police
even
police found
cooler.
Receipts showing it is. It's much cooler. It's like the pit in the pendulum. And
it's
it showed
like Indiana
the man.
Jones.
Very much so. He purchased materials to make the guillotine from local stores over a 7-day period. The suicide plan was deliberate and well planned. Now, in 2010, a Russian engineer committed suicide with a homemade guillotine that he built secretly in his room in his parents' home. How do you build a fucking guillotine? What kind of parents are you?
Well, he's 47 years old
First
living
of all,
with his parents. So.
47, yeah, living with his parents.
Secretly.
So maybe his parents knew and they just weren't going to stop him.
Finally getting him out of the house a little
so,
bit.
Yeah. He lived in Moscow. He built it out of plywood, sheet metal, and water bottles.
Weight.
Pravda, citing the report in the Russian newspaper Life News, says that Repin laid down on the plywood, cut the rope holding the crude blade, and he'd been unable to sharpen the metal blade extensively without tipping his parents off to the project. But it worked. Now, not all guillotine-related deaths have been international, intentional, Timmy.
Or international.
Or international. In 2016, a Canadian man was accidentally decapitated while demonstrating how his homemade what the fuck you got a homemade guillotine for?
He was a hobbyist. Right. Everyone needs a hobby.
He placed his head in it to show his wife his invention. And then she slapped his hand off the rope. Well, it doesn't say that, but I'm sure that's what happened.
Yeah, no.
And Amelia Carter looked on in horror and amusement as the device was triggered, instantly decapitating a couple's husband or the husband in the living room. And you know the first thing this woman said?
All over her carpet.
That ruined my carpet?
You ruined a carpet, goddammit. Yeah.
You know what? Why is he building a guillotine in the living room?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean,
why
I feel like it's partly her fault.
I feel like she basically enabled him. Mm.
Yeah, she was you let Dave build a guillotine, Brandy?
No, but I don't think he'd ask, and he certainly wouldn't ask to build it in my living room.
All right, so that's the history of the guillotine. Brandy, your final thoughts, if at all?
You know, in some cases, I feel like it should be brought back.
Colonel, your final thoughts on the guillotine? Whatever.
Well, I thought this was a very deep and very cutting episode, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
All right. We would like to thank all of the wonderful people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Or just a wee little bit, Timmy.
Okay.
Just
lay it on
me,
Colonel.
I don't have it, Timmy. You didn't send it to me.
I'm sorry. We will make sure to thank everyone next week. But I think that our newest members, but we appreciate everyone who contributes.
We do appreciate it. Gina, even though you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, we do appreciate
Gina
it.
Gina and Jim and Whitney and all the people who we name every week. We really appreciate your support, and we will read the list next week, I promise. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you all next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.